The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Make room for huge plays with the HyperX Alloy Origin 65 mechanical gaming keyboard and the Pulsefire Haste wireless mouse. The Alloy Origin 65 has a functionally compact form factor, keeping the arrow keys while ditching the numpad and the F keys. The Pulsefire Haste is the lightest wireless mouse from HyperX, featuring a robust connection and the precision you need to click heads. The Alloy Origin 65 and Pulsefire Haste Wireless, a terrific twosome to keep your setup clean and clutter-free.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Aw, Gaiden. That was so pleasant. Sorry.
In this season, we're playing through Okami. In our last episode, we just got the introduction. Like, that was one of the, like, shortest episodes in terms of, like, the work we had to do with it. Right, guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We just had to watch an intro cutscene. A very long intro cutscene.
But a walk.
A few of them. You know, if you didn't press pause right away.
Right. And then we walked into a tree. And we stood at a mirror, and that was all we did.
There's a bug. Wait, he's not a bug. Don't call him a bug.
Don't call him a bug. He's not a bug. He's just real tiny. So in the first episode, we did bring up the fact that none of us are very knowledgeable in, like, this kind of Japanese culture and sort of mythology and things like that, where, for the most part, what we know came from either anime or video games.
Mm.
And we are not experts about this. We are going to pronounce things wrong. We are going to say things wrong. I looked it up where in the first one I mentioned about Okami being God, and it's actually like a play on words where Kami means God, and Okami is similar to the word dog. And so it is a play on words of like dog God. So yeah, Okami is not necessarily like a common phrase in Japan or anything like that, but it is
they don't
sort
really
of
even
a
say it
dog god
here.
No,
yeah, no. I'm way into like history and stuff. Not very good with mythology, like across the board, across the world. Like, I'm very little of different mythologies of different places.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Shintoism was not a priority for the U.S. education system. So we are woefully inept to speak about it.
unless you went to a private religious school where they taught you about different religions to be like, this is why they're bad. And so
Satanism.
I definitely got the not a true representation of what it was when I was taught about it.
As for me, if this was based on Norse mythology, I would have a lot to say. That's just been my own personal thing where I think Norse mythology is really cool. And that's it for this. Like I said, it's the same for me. It's really just some video games. We'll talk about some stuff. That's why when BC, you talk about like the Shin Megami Tensei games and you talk about different gods in there, where in my mind, those are just SMT enemies and they're not anything else. And so I could see stuff like in reality and be like, oh, this must be an advertisement for the next Shin Megami Tensei.
Oh, Jack Frost is the god of winter. Okay, yeah, sure.
There is a YouTuber by the name of Gaijin Goomba. I'll throw a link in for this one, for this episode. Why not? That he covers a lot of stuff about video games and their parallels to actual mythologies, mostly Japanese. So he does some really good work. He's done some stuff for Okami. He talks about actual history of these things. His earlier episodes, he does this like annoying squeaky voice, which he drops later. But he does some really good work. So go check him out if you want to like get some actual history on this stuff. Otherwise, we're just going to talk about this video game. We're going to keep everything in this bubble of this video game for the most part, except when they reference other video games.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So let's get into this. Okay. We went into the tree. We're in the tree. This is the River of the Heavens.
Yes.
And we find this out when we go and step up on a ledge and we look up in the sky and Isun is like, look, there's a constellation.
Pretty great, huh?
Yeah, this is where we get our starting to mess with the paintbrush mechanic and all of that. So I tried this in two different ways. I tried with the touch screen, and then I also just did the normal with the stick. Apparently you could do motion controls. I could not figure out how to get that to work.
I have been using motion controls.
How does that work?
You turn it on, and it asks you if you want to use left or right, and it asks you if you want to use L or R to activate it, in which case then you can move the brush around when you activate it, but you hold Y to bring the brush to the page.
Right.
And then do your stuff, and then lift if you have to lift for a design or something, but letting go of L or R is what brings you back out, what activates what you drew. It works okay. I will definitely be talking about going forward. Some of the times it did not work okay.
Okay. BC, how are you playing?
I'm playing with just the joystick to draw. After Spirit Tracks, I gotta stick to some conventional controls.
I tried the touch screen and it did not feel responsive. It almost felt like there was a little bit of a lag on there, and that was enough for me to be like, I'm not doing it this way. So I've been doing the sticks as well. As I said, I have a history with this game where it was just riding a bike for me when I started doing that stuff. Like I started putting in some of the later things on there because I was like, I haven't unlocked that yet, so I can't do this thing yet.
Mm-hmm. By later things, you mean just drawing circles everywhere you can.
Yes. In this one, we get the constellation that lets us heal, the rejuvenation. And this is just basically you paint over whatever. The game does give a glimmer effect on things that can be brought back with this, and for the
most
part,
okay,
yes, yeah,
I was trying to look for a tell on some of these.
For the most part, I think what you need to do is you need to hover your paintbrush over it, and then you'll get sort of like a smoke looking thing off of it, and that's when you know you can actually draw on it.
Okay.
And with the rejuvenation, it does not have to be precise. For the most part, none of these things have to be precise. That's what keeps the game fun, right? If it had to be precise, that's where we run into like some of the dumb DS Zelda stuff where they're like, you didn't draw this thing just right, and I'm like, I've been drawing it wrong this whole time and you've been fine with it, suddenly it needs to be this way.
No, it's gotta be an 8. It's gotta look more like an 8.
Yeah. So we get that, and they mention about how there are 13 brush gods, so there's gonna be 13 different moves that we're going to get throughout this. Some of them are just going to be advanced versions of the stuff that we already had. And some of them, they're going to be simple enough. You're not going to have to remember a crazy amount of shapes. This game does an excellent job of just knowing what you need to do here. And if you're interacting with this thing, there's only one thing you're going to do to interact with it. So we know what you're trying to do with the shape, right?
I like that this dragon was Yomigami I was like, yep, things are so bad that I just peaced out and became a constellation, and I've been hiding here waiting for you to come back so we can hang out and I can teach you stuff.
Yeah, that's what they're going to talk about throughout this, is that Amaterasu has been asleep. So like all of these gods have lived sort of in this world in the stars, but they haven't actually interacted with their mother for a long time. They haven't called their mother either, apparently. All of our interactions are going to be similar to this in varying ways of humor. I love these gods so much.
Yeah.
The different things that we get to see them do is really funny. And they do, in this episode and the next episode, we are going to be front loaded with like new abilities and things like that. But keep in mind, there's 13. So we still, like, I think by the end of the second episode.
Oh, wow, this game's going to be pretty quick. You know, we've already gotten like 4 or 5 or something. Like,
right. That's only like a third to a quarter of the kind of things we're getting.
We're getting the base elements of this game here.
Some other things that we get while we're here is we get the Astral Pouch, which is a thing that as you collect food, it fills up, and then you can use that to heal yourself throughout battle. So it's something that you can...
So how are we supposed to know when the pouch is full?
It turns a different color.
Okay. I was unclear on that. I just see the pouch numbers going up. So
it's 200 is the start.
Yes.
And then you'll get upgrades to the pouch where you can get like multiple pouches.
Yeah, and it's, we'll get to it, but it's expensive right now. So 200, I'm still at that.
It reminds me of Mega Man, where you would fill up your E-tanks.
Yeah.
And then you could go back and use those at different times. Another Capcom game.
Oh, hey.
So we come out of here, and we've got our new
stuff. We're playing another Capcom game on this show. What is this, number 6?
Hey, the old Capcom games are like the best ones. So
yeah,
the 2 Zelda Game Boy Color games, 3, 2 Mega Man, 2 Mega Man games,
and then a third Zelda game.
Oh, and then Minish Cap. Yeah, so three. So yeah, you're right. This is the 6th Capcom game we've played.
Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, as much Capcom as Zelda, basically.
We're gonna play Resident Evil 4 on the next Gaiden.
I'm gonna do mine in VR. So we come out of here, and we are at the we're in the cave of Nagi is where we show up after we leave out of here, and we see that his sword is broken,
named after Nagi.
Well,
the hero,
the Nagi.
Yeah. If we go and rejuvenate his sword, that then points to this little opening in this cave that we can see another constellation, just like back to back. Here's some moves.
Yeah.
They are just like, these are going to be some of the basics you need. So here you go.
We have to draw the Skyward Sword, you know, hold it up till it charges.
This is where we meet Tachigami, who is this mouse with a giant sword.
I liked it. I like we said it. I like all of these guys. So
they're just they're cute. They're adorable. I love it. And this gives us the slash move where we can then freeze we didn't really talk too much about this. At any time in this game, you can freeze it where it turns like sort of an old brown scroll looking thing, and you can still move freely in 3D. You don't have to like face it and then freeze.
You can move the camera around.
Yeah, you can move the camera around in 3D, so you can adjust your shot however you need it, and you can
that is super
you can
helpful.
Slash things and whatever other moves that we're going to get along the way. This is also where Isun realizes that the dog that he's hanging out with is the same dog from Legend of 100 years ago.
They bring that up. He goes back and forth like throughout this episode. Like he'll say that again later. Like, oh man, you really are Amaterasu, but like multiple times.
Yeah.
And he's made it clear that his whole purpose for this he has seen that this dog is interacting with the gods, and Isun is just copying Ami's work of just being like, oh, you're getting these? Well, I'm going to learn them too. And I'm going to stick around with you until I learn all these as well. So that is Isun's motivation throughout this.
And he makes a big point at the beginning to say, hey, I learned this restoration technique, because you see him restore a bridge first before you restore the River of the Heavens.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he's like,
look how cool I am.
I spent my entire life learning one of the 13 brush god techniques. And now you've learned two in the past 15 minutes. So I got to hang out with you more.
Yeah. Because at first he's like, look how awesome this is. Like, this is how cool I am. Check this out. I know more than you. And very quickly is relegated to secondary status.
Right. With this, we can now slash, like I said. After all of this stuff, we can leave the tree shrine that we were in, and we can slash that big peach that was hanging on this tree here. And doing that awakens the tree that was we were told was magical and all of this stuff. And we get one of the first animations that we're going to get throughout this game of just the world being flooded with color. And it has this like great music that goes along with it. And this was where I just had the flashback of like, oh, I'm going to have so much fun in this game. I loved this so much. It's just such a pretty game.
Music and the music is really, really good. I love it.
Yes. It's so, I mean,
not
so
just
good.
In this scene, but like, throughout, it's great.
Yeah. This is where we're going to be able to run through the town. And I did want to bring up, like, since this is where the game like really starts, we basically had the tutorial of, like, here are the basic mechanics that you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, did we get in a fight here? Or I don't think we've gotten in a fight yet.
Yeah, we get into a fight.
I thought we had one fight.
I think so, because we make there's a chest and like a little pond pretty close to where we came out of the tree that we get into a fight or something, and then that blooms that little area too and fills it with water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very small scale version of what we'll be doing like next episode. Is
a lot, yes.
Yeah, a much bigger version of this where we have little things to do, people to talk to and help out. And
I don't know if this is a Switch thing, but I'm going to guess that it's not. The draw distance is terrible in this game.
Yeah.
There are parts where, like, certain houses you'll be able to see. Later on, you're going to, like, rejuvenate certain areas, and that'll bring buildings out. But in terms of, like, enemies and stuff, they pop in real late.
Mm-hmm.
The
horses
NPCs,
too.
Yeah, the NPCs
turn
we
a corner
with,
and ha, horse.
The NPCs we interact with, they will have their bubble. They'll have a little word bubble above their head that literally has a pop in of its own. Where from a distance, it has this sort of face shape on it to let you know there's a person there. And it isn't until you get closer that face shape then changes to a picture of their face, which then as you get closer, they actually then appear in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
But every
great
stage of that you just described, like just the art design for all of that is great. Like the
it
face
still fits.
The
yeah.
face that shows up in the little cloud thing is great, and then you get closer, it changes to let you know who they are or what they might say or what it might be that they want.
Right.
And then it shows their face. Yeah, great.
Yeah, the art style at this time, like, many people compare this to Wind Waker, and by definition, sure, but this is they have such thick brush strokes and outlines through all these characters. And also everything has sort of this like flowy, dreamy sort of thing to it, where certain things will rotate with you in a weird way where, like, this is a 3D image, but it still like rotates as if it's like a 2D sprite in a 3D game and all of that, which sometimes is a little weird, but
it definitely has. That's a common thing back then too.
I feel like saying this is like when as you said, Jeremy, the comparison to Wind Waker is kind of obvious, but this is so idiosyncratic, I feel. Like, everyone is so quirky. As we get to the village and we meet all these characters, just the design and the personality and the, like, art direction in general is awesome. I love it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, top to bottom, they knew what they were wanting to do with this, and it kept that theme throughout. Everything just feels so good right from the beginning. You know, this is a world we're not familiar with. This is characters we're not familiar with and all of that. But it just feels like home, right? Like, it just feels good. I did also want to point out there are some weird things with Amy's physics, where the way he runs, like, I don't know if maybe this might be a Switch thing because the sticks are a little bit smaller on there. I know it is difficult to run in a straight line with him, but I remember that being an issue in the old games. Like, I mean, like a dead straight line.
It's been okay.
He tends to kind of like swerve a little bit back and forth as
he Yeah. It's been okay. The Joy-Cons definitely have that true north issue, but controlling, like, even when I'm going like top speed has been fine.
Yeah.
For the most part.
There are some issues with like camera angles and things like that, where this was the old style thing where the camera would constantly get stuck or butt up against the, you know, geometry around you and things like that. So certain areas, if they're not like wide open, can get a little bit like awkward from time to time. Another thing that Amy does is she will automatically jump in the air if she's near like a little fence or at the edge of something.
It so jumps there could be a time.
Yeah, there could be time. You have a jump button. We can jump on our own. We can do all that stuff, but it will also auto jump at certain times, which can be awkward. You'll be like near the edge of something, sort of running along it, and then Amy will just do like front flips in the air, and you're just like, what are you doing?
I kind of like it, but yeah, it's a very Zelda Onipona thing where the game will just jump for you, but this does it no matter what speed you're at, practically.
Right.
I would rather do that than like bonk into the wall and then fall backwards. So.
Beep, yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. Just like trying to back up with opponent and all that. No, Amy can just like jump in the air and turn around on a dime, and it's no problem at all. Let's compare this with the Wolf Link. I mean, really,
see,
I think that's
that
the thing,
is where I have been living the entire time. That's where I like. I'm surprised, you know, it's taken us this long to be like.
It's the second episode, Brian.
It's a wolf thing. So yeah, you know, we've got this sort of that phenomenon that happens where you get like two volcano movies in a summer, and like that wasn't planned. That just happened, you know, for whatever reason. We get two action adventure games starring wolves. And
I think already this game has so much more character than Twilight Princess.
I was talking about the art direction earlier, character design, and it is really, really hard to look at Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess had a couple pretty moments in it. This one has had numerous pretty moments already in the first like 2 hours that we've been playing.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, this and Twilight Princess are both showing us a blighted world that's kind of
right,
robbed of its color and bland. And even though they're both achieving like trying to do that same thing, Okami's world is just better looking, even in how it shows the blight upon the land. Like,
Yeah. So, after we did all that stuff, we are, like I said, allowed to run free through this town. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to see what's going on with this town. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, everything's beautiful, wonderful.
It's probably chill.
Nothing but flowers.
Need some adventure in your life? What Mad Universe is a podcast where two guys delve into the history of sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, and the impact it's had on pop culture.
Everything's the same politically, but we have ray guns.
The actual motive isn't to explore something that's, quote, yeah, scientifically possible.
But neither is Star Wars, and I know there's arguments about that, but I would definitely consider Star Wars science fiction.
You haven't read Dune!
No, I haven't.
You can never be the Kwisatz Haderach.
What Mad Universe on the HyperX Podcast Network.
The award-winning Go Nintendo podcast is the best place to get the latest news on the world of Nintendo. We cover the biggest stories, share impressions of the latest games, and answer your burning questions. There's also some general pop culture talk, game music trivia, a heaping helping of silliness, and did I mention our robot companion?
I'm the star of the show.
Catch new episodes of the Go Nintendo podcast every Saturday on the HyperX Podcast Network.
So we're back. We're in this town here, and if we go up to anybody, they have turned into statues.
Mm-hmm.
If Isun makes a point to be like, let's talk to some different people, right? Let's see what else is going on. If anybody knows what's happening, you talk to a couple of them, and Isun is like getting worried. He's just like, they're all statues. What's going on here? If you explore around some more, there is like an exit, but it's blocked by a giant stone. We will solve that in this episode. If you talk enough to these people, now I, again, having played through this game, I went to some places that I wasn't supposed to. Not necessarily like I couldn't, but just like it wasn't ready for me then. So
yeah.
I went and found one person because I knew where they were. I knew to slash this thing to get this stuff here. If you go into some of the houses, they have those paper doors, which are, you know, traditional Japanese doors, and you can slash those, and there's sometimes stuff behind it. You can get little statues that aren't the people. These are different statues that you'll be able to sell for things. So
yeah,
whenever you find these statues inside treasure chests, those you just want to sell. They're not worth anything else. You'll eventually hear a conversation where they'll say, like, yeah, just sell that treasure. Don't worry about it. It's not used for anything else. They got to make it very clear. Like, don't hoard it, right? Like, coming off of something like a Resident Evil 4, right? Where you get certain things. Every once in a while, you get some jewels. They do a bad job where, like, no, some of those jewels are actually useful to do this thing, and you can make more money.
Never going to find, like, another cat eye again.
Yes. This game is just like, just sell it. Sell
it
all.
Get rid of that.
You want the money. So, if we walk around some more, really, we just got to go back up the path. I do need to point out, pun intended, this game will occasionally put a giant arrow right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like, you need to go here.
Isun, I'm looking around.
I know. I wish you could turn it off.
I appreciate the arrow, personally, but...
I wish Isun would say, do you need help? Like, you know, I wish it would go give you some kind of option beforehand, because it is an arrow the size of Amy that just tells you which direction to go into. And at some point, it just does it. It doesn't ask you ahead of time. It doesn't even really give you necessarily a lot of time to figure things out. It's just sort of like, go here, idiot. That's how I take it, at least.
Yeah, a little bit.
But if we follow the arrow, we'll go back to this other path that's near... There was a Y split when we were coming down from the bridge where the tree was, and that's where we went to the town. If you went the other way, there's an overlook. Now, the thing is, I went to the overlook first, and Isun was like, let's go look at the town first. Because mm-hmm. like,
I did the same thing,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I knew what I needed to do.
He's like, Isun, I went, chill out.
Yeah, we'll get this. If we go back up there, this is where we get a little cutscene where Isun makes a point of like, oh, it's so dark here. I wish there was a way to shine some light. And then it just looks up at the sky, and they're like the sun. Draw the sun. And if you draw a circle in the sky, it creates a sun. Again, I love the design of the sun. It is this big red circle with a drawing of a flame inside of it and like a stylistic way. It's not just that. And it gets the Japanese sun stripes all around it too. It's just looks so cool. when you do that, that sort of reawakens everybody in the town. They turn back from statues to their normal selves. And then Mr. Orange shows up behind us. I love Mr. Orange. He's a creep, but I love him.
He's not a narc.
Yeah. This is where we also get the information that nobody sees the magical stuff that's on Amy that we see. All of the red glows and spirals on us, those are like our god powers. And everyone else just sees us as a normal dog.
A snowball.
And yeah, and we can actually turn into that dog if we use up all our power. And it does this like boing like noise whenever you like use the last of your ink. And I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Very, it's like when you run out of your powers in Beautiful Joe, you're just like regular dude clothes, backwards hat, cargo shorts, the grainy film footage, like. You just revert back to just normalness.
And the explanation for this ends up being that, you know, they don't believe in you enough to be able to see your power. So
sure. Yeah.
And this will be a theme throughout this episode and the next, and I presume the entire game, is that your power is based off of the faith people have in you as a sun god.
So, yes,
the praise they give.
Right, this is where we're introduced to a new currency. It's basically our XP.
Yeah.
And that is the praise. They just flat out call it praise. You can get praise by doing things for people. You can get praise by feeding animals, which is very. It's so meditative, because whenever you go up, you have to buy food beforehand, buy seeds,
find it,
whatever.
But yeah, I bought a lot of extras.
And you can go up to animals and you can feed them, and then it goes to this cutscene where it's just you and this animal, and they're just eating food, and you're surrounded by a guard, like it is the moon at the end of Majora's Mask, just this endless green plain with flowers all around you, and it just spins around with this nice music, and I think it just goes on forever. I think
now it does like one big rotation. Okay. It takes a while. I sat there a few times to see how long it would go, but yeah, whatever animal you feed, there's just Amaterasu is just sitting there being like, yes, eat my child, yes, enjoy your food, my child.
So we go run around the town and we can go talk to people. And again, I sequence broke this thing. I got some stuff ahead of time that I didn't need yet because I was like, I knew what I needed beforehand.
I learned a lot about how sake is made, in this episode. And it just made me the more I saw of the different parts of it, I was like, I really need to look up how they do this, because we get one lady who, because we can find food just lying around, and some of it is rice wrapped in bales of hay, and we're like, okay, so that's food apparently, but then those bales of hay seem to be the things that are used in the process of polishing the rice. So
it's nourishment, right? Like
nourishment. So if you had played Sukuna of Rice and Ruin, you would know.
Of course, yes, that's right.
Some things that you can do around this town, though. There is a little boy with a dog that challenges you to dig up all the turnips over at his mom's garden. Now you have to do it quick, because as soon as you start, the mom's going to chase you and bonk you on the head. And if you get bonked on the head, it resets.
This was stressful.
I mean, you can just slash at her, and that'll stun her, which I think you have to. I don't think there's a way to do it.
You absolutely do have to.
Oh, yeah. And don't mess it up and accidentally let her through. But, you know, you can basically just, if you mess it up, you can just hold down the scroll function and pause everything for a while. But, yeah, that got stressful at times. Just trying to like dig in the right spot and remember which button was the dig button and not mess anything up or get buttons, you know, crossed or something. Yeah.
This is where we're introduced to digging. where throughout this game there are going to be things you do have to pay attention. You can find treasure chests in there. You can find little clovers. This is a Clover Studio game. We will find little clovers later on that are all just like underground. And you do that just by like digging things up. Digging isn't like a huge mechanic in here, but it's very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot easier to do than Twilight Princess, in my opinion. And isn't nearly as like, and it's just so much more rewarding in general. You know, Twilight Princess, you just never knew what you were going to get whenever you dug. At least here, when you see something to dig up, it's going to be something useful.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if we go and walk around, we check out some houses, things like that. We eventually do come to the house of Susano, and we get stopped part of the way of just being like, go talk to him and all of that. Well, actually, I think you have to try to go to the stones first, right?
Yeah, because if you go there beforehand, you can go into his house and talk to him, but if you try and wake him up, he's just like a log.
Okay.
There's a merchant by the stones that he mentions that, oh, there's the greatest warrior of this town, and maybe he'll know what to do. His name is Susano.
I hear he's a descendant of the great Nagi.
Right.
Yeah. Of the Massachusetts Nagi, so very established.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you've heard of them.
the Saki lady also mentions him because she sometimes gets his help during harvest time. Like, sometimes it's just too much and she needs his help to do stuff some years. But this might be another year where she'll need his help. It's also a sign outside his house that says the Great Warrior.
Warrior?
Yeah, Warrior. And Isun's like, I think he even messed up the sign.
Yeah. When we go back and forth with this, we do eventually wake him up, and he talks about, like, oh, he's the Great Warrior, all this stuff, what do you need?
No, he's like, I was down here, meditating. I was meditating.
Right. And basically, Isun is just like, yeah, we need your help right now. And so without even asking him, like, Amy just like picks him up and chucks him on top of him to like bring him upstairs. And it's just like,
yeah,
we need to go over this stuff right now.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, quit bugging me. Like, he does not want to.
Yeah.
And we're over it real quick.
We go and take him to the stone, and he's just like, I got to go and practice my special move, and he just runs away. And if we go and follow him, he'll go and tell us, like, oh, he's not ready to fight. He needs some inspiration, right? and what we need to do is we got to get him drunk. And not just sake. Not any sake will do. What is this one called that she makes?
I don't know if this is the one that, she gives him kind of a special brand, but I think she mentions the way the rock got there is because she let a monster try some of her Mad Dog 2020 and, like some like thunder brew or something. She's like, I never should have let that dude have the potent stuff. That monster. Like, that was a bad call.
Yeah, that was how the mill got broken, is a monster came down from the hills, and she was like, hey, you want to try some booze?
She was like, want to try the good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Isun's like, yeah, don't go giving monsters sake. Like, they're bad enough when they're sober. Like, why did you do that?
But no, after we go and help fix her mill, she's able to make sake again, and she gives us the Vista of the Gods.
Right.
Is the name of that one.
This is the Thunderbird.
It's just this, like, this like cool looking blue jar of it. We can just go and pick that up, and you can just run around with it. You're just a dog running around with alcohol in its mouth.
you can pick up like practically anything except for full grown adults, basically, in this game.
But so you can still bite them.
Yeah.
You can bite them at any time. Like, they don't like it, but you can. It's also fun just slashing random people because you get different reactions from them, or they're just like, what was that?
I was surprised when the first time I actually decided to bite something, because I was afraid to bite people, and it just gingerly picked up a little bunny or whatever, and I was like, oh, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We go and take the sake to Susano, and this gets him just all powered up. He's ready to go, right? This is his spinach. And we get this scene, which we're going to get these a lot throughout this. We get sort of a cutscene that's almost, it's almost like a QuickTime event, because it's a cutscene. We're just in the middle of it. It pauses and expects you to do an action. And for him, he is going back and forth on these targets and doing slashes on them. And then every time he does that with his sword, you have to freeze and do the slash animation for it. And then the last part, like after you get him real psyched up, that he it has to be a 5-hit combo for him. So you got to do the 4 hits, and then on the 5th hit, he'll do his exploding implosion.
Yeah. Yes.
His secret technique, the exploding implosion.
Yes, which is basically the most powerful attack that you can use on any kind of rock.
The most powerful oxymoron you could use on a rock.
Mm-hmm. You go and do this for him, and he is still just so hyped up. He's like, I'm going to slash every rock I can.
Well, it's his training rock. And it says you can inspect it before any of this happens. And they're like, yeah, this it looks like a training rock, but no one has ever trained on it before. Like, his training rock has never been used. Yeah.
Yeah. We can go and follow him, and, we get to do another follow-up scene with that. He runs up and he does his Susano style exploding implosion, runs right up to there, slashes the thing, and then you do your move, which actually is the thing that slashes it open. And that frees the town. They are back to being able to trade again. How this wasn't like more damaging, I don't know. Like, this should have been a big deal a while ago. Maybe it all happened like in the course of an hour, right? This fell, and then the evil demon got released, and all this
monsters
happened.
Got wasted, and you know, it was this whole thing. It was just a really bad weekend,
right?
I think this scene is great because I just imagine this is how every miracle happens. Is, you know, someone has a meager implement, a wooden sword, and there's just a magical dog behind you going, okay, I'll break that for you. I'll break that for you.
Well, the thing
hold
is,
on, I gotta get wasted first.
We are... This is what's interesting. This game is a first-person game because we are the view of a god. We are the god Amaterasu, and we use this dog as a vessel. Like, when the dog is left alone during cutscenes, it will fall asleep. It doesn't care. It's like, it, you're not actually talking to the god. You're talking to the dog. You're talking to the god, which is us. And so, throughout all of this, like, what you're saying, BC, is absolutely correct, where, you know, it isn't, I don't even consider it, like, it's not the dog doing it. It's us, the god, that we are the ones that are actually just following around this god.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are... It's like Psycho Mantis was, where he was just like right behind Meryl the whole time. And like, that is the view that we have. I think it was in the GameCube one they did the first person view with it too, I think. I don't know. I might be mixing some things up. Anyway, that's a Konami game, not a Capcom game. So what am I talking about? Now that we have this open.
Let's not talk about Mr. Dayak. Yeah.
We can leave this town, but we're not going to do that for this episode. We're going to wrap it up here. For the next episode, we're going to go ahead and reach Agata Forest. When we get into there, there's a little pathway you can go down. There's a little save station near a house.
A
go there. Go ahead
house.
And save. Yeah. In between here and there, there's a lot of stuff to do, a lot of people to meet, some new brushes to find, some enemies to fight, lots and lots of stuff to do. So go ahead.
Flowers
do all that.
Plant.
Absolutely. Make the world beautiful. And meet back here, and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden.